Hello, I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy, and you're listening to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast,
where we help you become a family who lives, loves, and leads well. Hello, and welcome back to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast. We are so excited to be with you today, and we're talking about a pretty heavy topic.
Yeah, I can't say that I love that we have to talk about this, actually. But we're talking about seven ways to protect your child from sexual abuse. And we're talking about it because it's important, and we're talking about it because it needs to be called onto the table. And we want to protect our kids.
This was birthed out of a conversation that I had, had the opportunity and the privilege to be working with a guy who's become a very dear friend of mine, who works with the National Organization of Victims Assistance. And their mission is to champion dignity and compassion for those harmed by a crime or crisis. And when you think about dignity and compassion, we were talking here before the podcast, we know we have a lot of people, a lot of friends who this is part of their story.
Sadly, we know far too many people that this is unfortunately a defining moment of their story. And it marks them for
a lifetime. It impacts or can impact your own parenting journey if you yourself were a victim of sexual abuse. And so we want to do everything we can to come alongside and give dignity and compassion and talk about this on a very important level in a way that we can stop this as best that we can.
Well, in a proactive way before we get to the down the road where we're, I mean, obviously thankful for Nova. They worked with trafficked girls and boys and then all victims of abuse. But for us to on the forefront, like what can we do to prevent it from getting to that place?
Yeah, I was riding in the car one evening with my friend, and we were carpooling back to the hotel from an event that we were both just speaking at together. Mm-hmm. And that's how we met. And I just asked him, I said, as a dad, how can I best protect my kids from being sexually abused? I mean, that's the heart here, is I'm saying, hey, how do it help me? And he just rattled off seven answers.
So smart.
My friend James rattled off seven answers that I just thought, man, I got to write these things down. And I wrote them down and pulled them into this podcast today. And I want to pass those along. We want to pass those along to you because we have implemented some things in our own home now that have helped us in helping.
Yeah. And I think the first one was probably the one that hit me the most, that it's ingenious. And I think it's so simple, but have surprises, but don't have secrets. So in our home, we do not keep secrets. We don't use that word, but we do have surprises. And the difference is secrets are never told, but surprises are always revealed. And so when it takes, you know, if we're getting daddy a present for his birthday, if it's a Christmas something or other, it's a surprise. So we know that
surprises are revealed.
Yes, it's going to come out. But what predators do is they tell the child, this is a secret. This is a secret between you and I. Do not tell mommy. Do not tell daddy. This is our secret. So if the child knows that we don't have secrets in our family. So like it keys them in their brain that there is something off.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, into number two that he mentioned, 90% of perpetrators are people that we love and trust.
Yeah. And that's one thing to keep in mind.
Yes. And so if it's someone that you love and trust, or the child has come to know to love and trust, and they're telling them, you know, this is a secret I want you to keep.
So to just briefly summarize that, number one is have surprises but don't keep secrets, and number two is be vigilant of the people your children are spending time with. Over 90% of perpetrators, as Christy mentioned, are people we love and trust. One of the things that we've even had to do, and I think this is very critical for those of you listening who have in-laws or your parents nearby who, you know, grandma and grandpa love to keep secrets. Hey, I got a little secret to keep, you know, I'm giving you some chocolate or some sweets. And
what happens at grandma's stays at grandma's, like that type of thing.
Those type of things. And so as parents, you may have to educate your own parents or your in-laws on, hey, listen, this is a rule in our home and we want you to respect that rule. So if you have a little, you know, something with your, you know, some chocolate or some cookies, and this stays at grandma's. Let's change our language as it relates to that.
We've had that conversation. I mean, that was super easy. It was just, oh, I mean, to me, I didn't know. We used to use the word secrets.
Yeah. And a lot of times, yeah, it's nothing against your parents or in-laws. It's just people just don't recognize this. This is a powerful insight.
Yeah.
I was blown away when he told me this.
Totally. And I think I just think there's more awareness now, which I'm so thankful for, that we're raising kids in a generation where we're just aware of it. I don't think it's actually increased, to be honest. I think people are just more aware that this is happening, so people are more free to come out and say, yeah, this happened to me.
You're saying sexual abuse hasn't increased, it's just more people are aware of it.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the third one, and I think this is super critical as well. Trust your child's instincts. If your child is skittish towards a relative or a friend, don't push or force your child to like or trust that person necessarily. Our children tend to have gut responses and instincts better than we do.
Yeah.
Because I think we want to see the best in others, and they're just not so sure right away.
I love that. And it's too often that we assume, since we trust that person, that our kids should too. But I love that he said that, because I feel like it gave me the permission to trust our kids. For whatever reason, they're afraid of that person or intimidated or, you know.
Yeah. And I think it's important that we don't fall into the trap of seeing our children as not knowing anything.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah, di- true.
What it's doing is it's giving our children power to say, hey, listen, boundaries are important. Mm-hmm. And we want you to learn boundaries.
Just like we're trying to teach you boundaries, you are also able to set up your own.
Especially relational boundaries.
Yeah.
And this gives our children power to learn to build those boundaries and allow trust to happen naturally over time and under our supervision, as opposed to just saying, hey, you have to trust this person.
Exactly.
And trying to force them to.
Because there could be legitimate reasons why they shouldn't trust that person, or they don't.
Absolutely. Yeah, so don't force it. The fourth one that he mentioned to me was, and this is I think this is so crucial, and this is one that we've had, I mean, in our home, it's just, we've just used it. Don't use Willy, pee-pee, or a dinghy to describe your child's penis. Use appropriate names for private parts. Number four is use appropriate names for private parts. And Christy's laughing because our son will use the name penis. And
he uses it like it's like, you know, water bottle. Like it's
yeah. But the reason is this is true. And same for daughters, okay? Calling the vagina by its proper name is important, because what predators do, what sexual predators do, is they will use cutesy names to lure children. And when a child learns the appropriate terms, if they know the names of their private parts and they can name them accurately, there's no confusion over what they are. If someone touches them inappropriately or hurts them in that particular area of their body, they're able to talk about it. They're able to tell you about it. Because number one, we're not keeping secrets. And number two, that private part has been touched and someone's told me a different name for it. We've got to teach our children. And I get a lot of kickback on this I get a lot of parents who actually say, well, when can I start, you know, how do I start talking about sex to my children? I believe it starts from the time they come, you know, they can begin communicating. If they're not going to learn it from us, they're going to learn it from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And we've got to take control of that conversation. And again, age appropriately.
Yes.
We're not talking about, you know, giving the birds and the bees at 4 years of age. But we're age appropriately being able to help explain to them what their private parts are.
Right.
And
because so often just giving them language, just giving them words to use gives them power when a child feels powerless. But they can at least put a name to it. Another one is teaching them the appropriate situations when their private parts should be seen.
Yeah.
And who should see them? So we've talked with our kids about that.
So they know their private parts.
Yes.
And now
there's
when
a time,
can they be exposed?
When can they be seen? and who should be able to see them. So
because this is just like, it's just like teaching your child to use a fork.
Yeah.
It's just teaching your child how to speak to other people.
Yeah,
right?
It's
appropriate ways to speak, appropriate ways to use a fork. We're also talking about appropriate ways that we use.
Well, to conduct ourselves, whether
absolutely.
How to expose ourselves or not. Actually, our son, this is kind of funny, but he came home the other day and pulled his pants down. And we both looked at each other like shocked, like, what did you just do? Like, why did you do that? He thought it was funny. And so we had to sit down and have a conversation, and it actually came out at school that I guess there was a kid in class that had been doing this. And so the teacher had to really crack down on the whole class because they all saw it one time from mm-hmm. whatever child that was. And they all started copying because it was funny. And I'm sure they all laughed. And so we had to have some pretty stringent conversations about this. But it was great because it was called on the table. And then our kids knew this is not appropriate. Who can see our private parts? The doctor, when we go to the doctor's office, and mommy and daddy.
Pretty much it doesn't go beyond those, beyond bath time and and doctor's office.
And once our kids are old enough to wash themselves in those areas, we give them that job because we feel as though that should be their job to do. It doesn't need to be mom and dad's job
and
anymore.
And we start putting that responsibility on them.
Yep.
That's right. Number six, if your children ask questions, answer them. And again, this goes back to, it's the same conversation as the birds and the bees. It's the same conversation, it's the sex talk. It's the same conversation with screens. It's not a one-time talk. This is an ongoing conversation that we have to have.
I love that you say that. It is an ongoing conversation. I feel like a lot of people think, though, it is a talk. I had the talk when they were 12 or
well, that's what
whatever.
We've learned.
Yeah.
That's what I learned from my parents. It was about the talk.
And then you move on, and it is literally never discussed again.
So don't ignore or deflect questions that they have about their private parts. Our children are curious about everything.
Yeah.
Including their body parts. So ignoring these, what ignoring the questions does, it only increases their curiosity. As I said, if they don't learn it from us, they're going to learn it from somewhere else.
Or at the worst, it gives them feelings about shame about their body.
That it shouldn't be talked about.
This is a shameful thing. These are shameful parts. This is something that we don't talk about.
That reminds me of my one of my dear friends, Pastor Ted Cunningham out of Woodland Hills Family Church. He in Branson, Missouri. I'm going to call him out on the table here. He has a phrase that he uses that he grew up in an independent, fundamentalist, King James only Baptist church where he was taught that sex was nasty, dirty, and you should not talk about it. How does he say that?
Sex
is
dirty,
nasty,
and wrong, and you should
save
it
for the
person
once
you
love
most.
That's right. So let's not
inhibit. And isn't that
inhibit.
True? A lot of us that were raised?
For a lot of us, yeah.
It's dirty, nasty, and wrong, and you should save it
for the one you love the most. Mm-hmm. So let's not be the parents who keep it quiet or don't talk about it because it can increase feelings of shame. And we want our children to learn that sex is a beautiful thing to be saved for the one that they love the most.
And that we're here to talk. Yeah. I think what's difficult is that we're all so uncomfortable about the topic, especially talking about it with children, right? Like that just, it's there's knowing what's age appropriate. Maybe that's something we can cover. We can talk about
just
sometime.
Talk about the age appropriateness of it.
Yeah.
And you'll know too, because each child is uniquely different mm-hmm. and they understand things faster than others. You know, you might have one child who understands these concepts way earlier than another child. And it's important as we talk about curiosity, you know, just thinking about curiosity, if we don't talk to them, it'll only increase their curiosity if we deflect the question.
Exactly.
So
what they're going to go to their friends.
Yeah.
And then once they can access internet, they're going to go to the internet.
And so let's go to that. Let's talk about sleepovers.
Yeah.
For just a second.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is a hot button topic, I think, for a lot of parents. People have their views and it's and staunchly held views. And I totally respect that. For us, we know too many people. You've worked with too many families where kids have gotten into pornography because of sleepovers.
Pornography is a big one at sleepovers.
Yeah.
We have limits on our internet at our house. You know, I think it cannot be said enough that we need to get to know who our children are hanging out with and who their parents are.
Yeah.
And especially before we'd ever allow them to stay over at that friend's house,
right,
and not knowing who they are. Mm-hmm. We even, as we travel around, I mean, we're so particular that even if we're called to go to a radio interview or speak together somewhere at a distance, even though our family doesn't live here, we call in family, and mm-hmm. we'll fly our family in to stay with our kids, just because it's safer. We yeah. feel it's safe. And I would rather be safe than sorry in this particular instance. And go ahead.
Well, it's just like, it gives us peace of mind.
Peace of mind, yeah. There's even times we've neglected date nights.
Yeah, because we haven't.
We didn't know anybody, or we couldn't find somebody we trusted.
Yeah.
Fully.
You know, there's babysitters. There's, you know, all those websites where you can get childcare. And I'm just saying, do your homework. Be so careful. Unfortunately, we've seen too much of the ugly side of this, and it is real and it is out there, but we have control. We have the power. We cannot protect them from all things. We
That's
can't.
Right.
But we can control, while they're young, who they're spending time with and who we leave them with.
And I also want to say this too. If you're a parent whose child has been sexually abused, whether it was in a Sunday school room, whether it was out of your control.
Yeah.
It was out of your control, and you did everything that you possibly could. I just want to stop and say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that happened. And we just want you to know today that we want to serve you, hoping that, you know, you've surrounded yourself with community, your child has surrounded yourself with community. If you are listening to this podcast today, you're a parent who's dealt with this and you're struggling even being a parent because you were abused, or you're struggling with this topic in some capacity, take a look at our show notes today. We're going to have information there for you to be able to connect to a local counselor in your area that we can connect you to. And if you have questions, you could or you need help at some capacity, there'll be a way for you to contact us and let us help you get connected to someone in your local area so that we can help your family out. This is too heavy and too important a topic to gloss over and not take seriously. And so we just want you to know that we're there for you.
Yeah, and that you're not alone. There is so much help now available out there, and we would love to connect you with that if we possibly can. So,
absolutely. The last one, the number 7.
I love this one. That your children do not have to hug and kiss everybody. Hmm. And I think we were just coming out of the holidays, and it's, you know, when you're around family especially, it's too easy to be like, go give grandma a kiss, or go give aunt so-and-so a hug. And the family members that come up, and they're just like overly affectionate of your kids, and they're very wary.
The overzealous grandma who's got just lipstick plastered all over her lips.
Our grandmas aren't like that.
That's why I can say this.
Oh, okay. The hypothetical
overzealous
one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so often we
pinching their cheeks.
Yeah, exactly. Pinching their bum. So often we comply or force our poor kids to do it, to kiss them or hug them if they don't want to. But to just similar to what the other one he said about trusting your child's instincts, on this issue, respect their boundaries. So if they don't want to give them a hug, they don't want to give them a kiss, don't force them. Because goodness knows, we probably don't want to hug.
Want to hug and kiss them either.
Our family, we do. But
yeah.
There are certain like ancillary ones. I get it. I see why they don't. But, you know, in a social setting like that, you feel like, you know, you want your kids to obey. Look good.
Do what
the grown-ups want them
right.
to do. And but he's saying don't.
And what I'm saying is as families who live, love, and lead well, if we want to be families who live, love, and lead well, we set the rules in our home for our family, and we set the boundaries. And if our boundary and our rules are we don't have to force our kids to trust you, then, or we don't have to force our kids to kiss you,
right,
then we're going to allow that to happen naturally over time.
Because it's more than just the family member, right? It's not about kissing grandma. It goes beyond that. It's teaching the child that I have control over my body. I have control over who I kiss and who I don't kiss, and no one can tell me who to kiss.
That's right.
Or hug. That I, even in my little tiny body, I control that.
And we give our kids that power.
Yes. And that's a permission they need for their whole lives.
Absolutely. Because this isn't just physical. This is relational.
Yeah.
We're teaching them relational boundaries here.
Yeah.
And what's important. And
I can say no in relationships that I don't trust.
Because there are some kids who are not overly affectionate. There are some kids, I mean, let's just take it to the introvert-extrovert conversation for a second. So, you know, you may have a child who is absolutely just drained, like me, by being around people and needs to get alone. I have a very, very dear friend who he'll send his son as a quote-unquote punishment to his room if he's acting out and saying, hey, and he tells him, you need to go read a book for an hour, and I don't want to see you come out of your room until you've read a book for an hour. Because he knows that that's what he needs in that moment. That's what he needs to re-energize.
Yep.
And that's part of this conversation is getting to know our children and helping them discover who they are.
Yeah.
Their own personalities and their own boundaries and relational boundaries and especially the hard boundary as it relates to the physical boundary as well.
Yeah.
That's a hard one. I mean, I say it's hard, but there's a hard line there. To say, hey, I'm, you know, this is my private part and I'm not keeping secrets and I'm only allowed to show my private parts at this particular time and to this particular person. And there's power in that.
Mm-hmm. But I control who I touch. Right? Like I can control that. I don't need to be forced or told.
That's right. So again, today, if you're listening and you have been impacted by this personally as a parent, and it's impacting your own ability to live, love, and lead well in your own family, whether it's in your marriage or your as a parent, as a mom or a dad, or you yourself as a parent, your children were abused by someone within your family, or a Sunday school teacher, God forbid, anybody, mm-hmm. and you're struggling with this. Please see the show notes today. We have ways that you can get help in your local area to work through this, because it's important. It really is.
It is, and I think I just want to say too, as parents, we have the tendency to worry a lot, and my hope is that this podcast doesn't make you so anxious that we start helicopter parenting again and feeling like, you know, the health and the well-being of our child depends on us and the things that we do or don't do right, because it's not true. And I think just to encourage us all, because we all want such good for our kids. And, you know, these seven things are things we can do practically. They're just easy, I think, to implement in a family they're helpful, but they can't protect our kids from every bad thing that could happen to them. But thankfully, they have a father that can. And I think this is when it comes back to this open-handed parenting, where we realize they're not ours, but we have care, and we have been entrusted to care for them. But if we hold our hands out and allow the Father, their Father who created them, to be their guide and their fierce protector, and that He is the one who will hold them through whatever they walk through.
Couldn't have said it better. So to recap, the seven ways to protect your child from sexual abuse or your children from sexual abuse. Number one, have surprises, but don't keep secrets.
Yep. And number two is just watch who your children are spending time with, because 90% of perpetrators are people who we love and trust, unfortunately.
And the next one, number three, is trust your child's instincts. Don't force them to trust somebody that you may already trust. Allow that trust to build naturally over time and under our supervision.
Yeah. And then four would be use the appropriate names for private parts, which is really helpful. And then five, leading off that, is just teach them the appropriate situations where their private part should be seen.
And then number six, if your children ask questions, answer them. Don't avoid them. We don't want to increase their curiosity or worse yet, lead them into feelings of shame about their body. So have conversation. Make this relational. Again, and to just piggyback off of what Christy just said, this please don't allow this to incite any type of worry or fear-based parenting. If you're leading this out of fear, that's not the direction we want to go. We want to be confident. As parents who live, love, and lead well, we want to set those rules in the home and in our family, and we want to lead with those. And so let's lead with those, and let's make the statements that this is who we are. And this isn't a fear-based thing. This is who we are, and we're going to protect ourselves as a family.
Yep. And lastly, they do not have to hug and kiss everybody. Actually sounds so gross. Let them choose. Yep.
Absolutely.
Don't force them.
Thank you for tuning in today.
I hope it was helpful. It was helpful for us when we first heard it. So we're just passing Super it
helpful.
Along to you.
Passing it along. We will right now, as we end this podcast, we're going to be praying for your children as you listen, and praying for your family. Protection over them.
For more information and resources, or to connect with us, go to drjoshandchristy.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy.
And be sure to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast. Write a review. The more positive reviews we get, the more people learn about it. Tell a friend, and be sure to send us ideas, thoughts, and questions you may also want us to cover on the podcast.
It's an honor walking alongside you.
See you next week.